Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why shut, won't you talk, see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And welcome to Spouting Off. This is show number 137, and I'm your host, Karen Cataline. 17 days before the most important election of our lifetimes, with the exception of 2016, which this election wouldn't even matter if 2016 hadn't happened the way it did. I think most people know that, and I think I like to use this one analogy. When you are cleaning out an ugly, infected wound, it's always more painful, the cleaning out process, than if you let it fester for a while. I mean, festering is very painful, but if you, you know, so all this ugliness that we are seeing, it's part of the cleaning out process. And it could go either way. Either we'll get it cleaned out with another 4 years of Donald Trump, or at least move in that direction in a big, big way, or we'll let it fester and fester and fester and get worse and worse until you have to cut off your whole arm or your whole leg or God knows what else. Before we get into all of that, a little bit of announcement and housekeeping things, and it's more than housekeeping to me. Spouting Off, the expansion of Spouting Off, is happening next week, October 20th. That's a Tuesday, October 20th. It's going to be the same Spouting Off with guests and your calls if you care to call. The phone number will be different, but we are expanding because Spouting Off is, thank God, being more and more successful, thanks to people like K-Star Radio Network and others who support this broadcast. And we will be on, we're beginning a broadcast. In other words, we will be expanding, hopefully, with new sponsors and lots of bright, exciting things happening down the road. So we will be on 1590 WSMN and 95.3 FM Nashua, New Hampshire every Tuesday and Thursday, 11 to 12 Mountain, 1 to 2 Eastern. That's all you got to remember. Oh, yeah. And you can go to www.wsmn.live to pick up the program. You can call in. It'll be just like Spouting Off, only hopefully with a growing and expanding audience. So that's 1590 WSMN and 95.3 FM Nashua, New Hampshire. We hope to do some simulcasts with WSMN on Fridays because you will continue to hear Spouting Off on Fridays at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. I get all these time zones mixed up. I need a bunch of clocks on the wall, you know, so that I can see what time it is in New York and what time it is in Cincinnati. Anyway, Spouting Off is heard live 2 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Mountain Time. And eventually we will probably have some live simulcast. But from now on, our goal is more and more callers from you. There's so much happening. And as you know, our First Amendment rights are under attack right now. And so to exercise them is more important than ever. It's like, you know, it's like going to the gym. Use it or lose it. I've been told that my whole life, and still I struggle with going to the gym. But as far as running my mouth and spouting off, I don't really struggle with that at all. And I want to encourage you to spout off Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and all of it will be available with information by going to my website. It's not even up yet. So, but it will be starting this weekend. All the times that you can hear Spouting Off, as well as the archives, which we will try to keep up on at the home base of Spouting Off, which is KarenCataline.com. Okay, so we're in the waning weeks of the election, 17 days. And if I may, and I will, that's what all this insanity of 2020 has been about. And it's 17 days before an election, this election, the election we knew all of the insanity was about. Now, I could go down a rabbit hole and ask why it is that the left was so invested in shutting people down, shutting down businesses, and a whole host of things, including making sure that the shutdowns didn't include rioting, looting, and all-out criminal warfare on law-abiding citizens, which sadly is only getting worse in these waning days of the election. You know, that doesn't seem to me to be a very wise election strategy, but since these leftist strategists, not all of whom are Democrats, some of them just don't know, I guess they just thought that they could get along fine with creating havoc and violence and chaos, and then blaming it all on Donald Trump. You see, all you need to do is change leadership and all this will go away. Well, in a sense, it will go away. God forbid we elect Joe Biden, because they're the ones who created it. They're the ones that stirred it up. They're the ones that manufactured it in order to get rid of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not in control of Chicago, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, because you know what? We do have local government and local control. Donald Trump would have been between a rock and a hard place, but he was brilliant in not shutting things down from a federal level, and he left it to the states, which is what he should have done, unless they asked him for help, to clean up and to restore law and order in these states. It's been horrific to watch, but it's always, always where there is Democrat control, Democrat monopolistic control of cities and states around the country, even where there's a Democrat mayor, there's chaos and insanity, because that seems to be the marching orders. That seems to have been the marching orders all along in this extraordinary, tragic in many respects, election year of 2020. And if I might say, and I will write a piece about this, but I just haven't gotten around to it with the expansion of Spouting Off and all of the rest, this is for all the marbles. This is for all the marbles. Let's just remember that, and I know you do, and you will. I've also noticed everybody is becoming more and more on edge. I'm getting calls, phone calls from friends and loved ones and people that I know to be very level-headed and reasonable, but they're getting scared. They're getting nervous because it's been such a run-up to this election. And we've seen how far the far left, which it's all the sort of the same thing that controls the Democrat Party, has been willing to go in order to get rid of Donald Trump by any means necessary. They've been willing to stir up violence. They've been willing to unleash criminals. They've been willing to not only unleash criminals, but let them out of jail under a phony premise that somehow if you let a criminal out of jail, he's safer from coronavirus. But if you keep a law-abiding citizen stuck in their home, they're safer from coronavirus. It blows my mind that so many people are willing to buy these lies from the same people that all the lies keep coming from, the same people, the same networks, the same narratives, despite the facts. I also had another kind of interesting, I guess, you tell me if it's interesting, observation, which is the more violence and threatened violence and chaos we're seeing everywhere we look, in these last 3 weeks in the election, of this election, the more brazen and the more in your face the censorship has become. Now, separately, it's been quite clear that a lot of this civil unrest has been used as part of an election strategy, not only a misguided one, but a cruel, immoral one. Think about that. I mean, how compassionate are these communist leftists? And many of them claim and say they're communists. This is not hyperbole. This is true. So how many of these communists, who have claimed to be, are willing to let or allow or even incite violence and even death in order to get what they want? There are a couple of cases in point that are happening in my own backyard. As you know, I am broadcasting from northern Colorado, and it just so happens that the latest bombshell from James O'Keefe, and he always drops bombshells in the last few weeks of an election. God love him. He needs to do that, and plus it's a lot of work to infiltrate these evil organizations who really are trying to stir up fear, terror, and even death and destruction to their political enemies just because we disagree, just because we believe in freedom and liberty and the way that the country was founded. But socialism and communism, unlike what the left has tried to indoctrinate kids to believe, is always requires force, always requires coercion, propaganda, and eventually really horrific force. That's the only way you can manipulate human beings, and using the power of government to do it. It really is. You don't have to be a truly religious person. I'm not really a religious person, although I'm getting more connected to my faith, the awareness that we need God, Hashem, to protect and care for this country. Hopefully God isn't done with this country yet, because if God is, we're in trouble. So I lost track of what I was going to say, because I usually am trying to say six things at once. It isn't a coincidence. I'll go back to this. It's not a coincidence that the censorship that is absolutely blatant and brazen, including Twitter shutting down a New York Post article because of a bombshell emails that prove what we've known all along, that Hunter Biden was basically the money laundering operation of the Biden family. I mean, this is blatant corruption, pay to play, all the things that the left accused Donald Trump and tried to impeach him for which there was nada evidence. Another example of how they project everything they've done, they want to project. And we know why, too. I believe that there's a relatively small number of leftist strategists who are taking their marching orders, who are giving out marching orders, because how else could all these Democrats be marching in lockstep as they are? Not only do they want us to march in lockstep, but they're marching in lockstep. Even people like Governor Jared Polis, who's a smart man with lots of money, he doesn't appear to really govern Colorado based on his own views, really. Obviously, his own views are infinitely further left than he ever tried to lead us to believe. But to the greatest extent, he's marching in lockstep with the governors of California, Portland. He even did so. He even joined a compact, right? So it wouldn't be so obvious, which of course it is. And the only difference really is whether you shut down private restaurants and businesses at 50%, like in Colorado, or 20%, like in Seattle, since it's already taken over the state completely to an even more radical degree. So, yeah, times are scary, and that's why I'm getting these phone calls from friends who are usually, as I say, pretty level-headed, but they're scared. They're ranting. They're spouting off to me about how worried they are about this election, because never has there been a more clear and obvious choice between liberty and tyranny, to coin the phrase of Mark Levin. And in order to talk about that, after the break, actually, we're going to have a spectacular interview with Judge Jeanine right after this break. And then we'll have a grassroots activist who came up with a spectacular compare and contrast piece that's on my website, on the internet, on Facebook for you to be able to take advantage of and use with all your friends, so that it's not just about personality. It's about which way this country is going. Are we going to be a communist country? God forbid, tooey. Are we going to return to our roots? As far as I'm concerned, I call that cultural misappropriation, when the left wants to take a country and turn it into a communist country. I mean, it's just amazing. Projection is anywhere. Anyway, I have to take a break. So you're listening to Karen Cataline with the ever-expanding Spouting Off, and we will be right back right after this. Don't go away.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I am just delighted to have with us the famous, the outspoken, and the gracious Jeanine Pirro, Judge Jean Pirro. Let me say that again. Judge Jeanine Pirro is a highly respected judge, former district attorney, elected politician, sought-after legal commentator, author, champion of women's rights, and host of Justice with Judge Jeanine, and for 3 years hosted Judge Jeanine Pirro, for which she won an Emmy. If you'd like to know more, you're going to have to read it, or I won't have time to talk to her. And you have a trilogy. I'm hoping it'll be a quadrilogy or a pentology. I've looked all that junk up just so that you'll keep writing. First one, Liars, Leakers. First off, welcome to Spouting Off, Judge Jeanine Pirro. Oh,
thanks for having me on, and thanks for that lovely introduction that makes some people like my mom proud.
Well, good. You know, that my Jewish mother would have been proud too if I if I gave an interview, if I did an intro like that and got one.
Yeah, thank you.
So I love your alliteration. The first book, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy, not at all relevant for today. Second, Radicals, Resistance, and Revenge, The Left's Plot to Remake America. And what's just came out, Don't Lie to Me, Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom. Hopefully you're going to keep on writing. Tell us about this particular book, if you would.
Well, you know, the amazing part of this is that, you know, I didn't intend to have a second, third book. I figured Liars, Leakers, and Liberals would be it. But since, you know, they couldn't resist the resisting the president, and they were radical in their resistance,
and they keep lying.
And the lies, I had to write the third book.
Yeah.
So the liars are still lying. The radicals are still resisting. But my concern is that I don't want Americans to have them continue to listen to these lies that are then supported by the mainstream media. Uh-huh. And that's why the book is loaded with footnotes. So if you get into an argument with someone, you've got all the footnotes, because as a former prosecutor, my job is to get to the facts and the truth and let people then decide, well, you know, where they stand. But it's an amazing time in America where the left is envisioning darkness and depression and locking us in our homes and not allowing people to go to work or go to church, where the right is like, let us out, let us be able to work and go to church, take care of our families, have some self-respect and dignity. And the left is like, no, you can't go out unless you want to buy booze or weed. And if you need to protest in thousands, you go ahead. It's your time in history, but don't go to church. And now Cuomo's talking about, you know, closing synagogues and churches and limiting the number. Why are they so focused on the religious part? It really bothers me.
I know why. Do you know why? Of course you know why. You're Judge Jeanine Pirro. It's because people of faith, of all faiths, but particularly, I say I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. And I do, are one of the biggest threats to socialism and Marxism, because we answer to a higher authority and it ain't them.
Well, let me tell you something. My upbringing was as a Catholic, and my mother, Esther, who just passed last year, was very, very religious. And I agree. Mm-hmm. This is a nation founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and the hatred that they have for churches, where even the United States Supreme Court, with John Roberts writing the majority opinion, saying, look, the casinos, Caesar's Palace can open, have at it. The movie theater's 18 in one building. You go right ahead. But you religious followers, if you go, you can't go more than 50 at a time. So what is happening in this country is frightening. And I think that Christians who historically have turned a religious people, everybody who believe in God, you know, they tend to turn the other cheek and kind of accept things and kind of want to forgive and move forward. They can't do it now, because what's going to happen is, as they started taking down, trying to burn churches, these protesters who are Marxists in this Black Lives Matter organization that doesn't believe in the nuclear family, the churches and all of the saints and the statues, as well as the historical statues, they want them down. Well, you know what? That's not what this country is made of. And then with the pandemic, using it as a political weapon to kind of do a petri dish of socialism, where they keep us down, give us a little money, keep us scared, just enough money to go to the supermarket, and then, you know, open the borders, defund the police, and then take away our guns. Well, that doesn't work for me, and I doubt it works for most Americans.
What is so difficult is that there are a lot of people, hate to say, that have been dumbed down and who don't know that that is what's behind so much of this. It's really Maoistic, you know, China-style communism in which everybody's conforming. The masks just kill me, Judge Jeanine. They're so much more than about masks. They're about obedience. They're about submission. They're about muzzling people. I don't know if there are people in the middle who are making the connection. You tell me, because you have your finger on the pulse, that people are making the connection that these things are coming from Democrat states, Democrat politicians. There ain't a Republican for miles and miles and miles around, and yet they have the audacity to blame Donald Trump.
Yeah. They turn around and they say, this is all Trump's fault. The fact that America is burning, this is all Donald Trump's fault. It's entertaining. But at the same time, I was in North Carolina, I think it was the week before last, and I had my mask on because I'd been on a plane, a commercial jet. Oh. And everybody who greeted me, and then when I went to speak, nobody was wearing a mask. They thought I was some kind of a freak. And then I was in Atlanta this past week, And nobody was wearing a mask. It's like, you know, in New York, where we've got these Democrats, these dictatorial kind of totalitarian leaders, if you can even call them that, and they've got everybody scared. And I agree with you. I think masks are about submission. They are about, you know, muzzling you. They are, there's a fear factor. And then you look at the mask that, you know, Joe Biden and his wife wear. You know, I remember when they first came out to put the wreath on Memorial Day weekend on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and the two of them had been in the house for, I don't know how many months, and they come out, there's no one around them, and they're putting the wreath on, and they got masks literally in black that go under their eyes to their neck. And you say to yourself, why do you two wear a mask? You've been living together for months. What, are you afraid of getting it from each other?
Yeah.
I mean, but it was a message. That's what it is.
That's what it is. It's a psyop. That's what it is. It's a psyop. And I know that conservatives have been complaining bitterly. I certainly have, that the level of compliance for this is disturbing at the very least.
It's compliance, and it's also the ability for them to sanction us if we don't, like, you know, Cuomo saying, you know, you can't open restaurants and you can't go to church and we'll take away your license, and judges saying we'll put you in jail. I mean, there's some serious stuff going on here, some serious sanctions, and that's the problem. You know, it's more than just it telling us they have the power, but there's no sanctions. If you commit a crime, there's no bail. You know, this euphemism, bail reform, is nothing more than saying, you know, you commit a crime, have at it again. We're letting you right out of jail.
Yeah, so, it's really like glorifying everything that is illegal and bad for the country and demeaning everything that's good for the country. Judge Jeanine, as a person of the law, It's disturbing that we have to use stuff within the law, which we do, in order to prosecute lawless lawmakers who are acting outside of the law. And the wheels of justice, they move so slowly. I know that in Colorado, we have people that are suing our insane leftist governor over mask rules and over churches being treated persecutorially, if that's a word. And so, you know, do you think it is enough to really use the law in order to punish and get recourse?
Well, you know, what they're going to do is they will use the law clearly. And then, you know, the courts, many of the courts are going to follow through with that. And then, you know, you've got to wait and have the money to take it up on appeal. And that's the problem. I mean, the Gretchen Whitmer thing, you know, it costs a lot of money to take this stuff up. It's like when Barack Obama took the Little Sisters of the Poor to the Supreme Court. You know, I mean, that stuff's not cheap. That's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get to the Supreme Court just to pay for things like court fees and basic, you know, attorney time. So, you know, they're kind of counting on the fact that you're not going to have the ability to actually litigate. So
can you suggest a better alternative for people who clearly, I mean, the constitutional attorneys that I've talked to said, you know, it is blatantly unconstitutional, and we go by the U.S. Constitution. But when you're being bullied with your license, as we see all over this country, you know, what do you suggest is the best recourse for this? Because it's terrible.
Well, you know, there is no recourse. The truth is that when, you know, they have the power and you violate the law, they can put you in jail, and then it's up to you to have to get the lawyers, and you have the power to, you know, take them to the to take them to task. You know, it's not that easy. It really isn't. It's a very difficult thing to do. So we just have to vote them out of office and get someone who can, you know, who believes as we do. And that's why this is so important.
It absolutely is. Let's fast forward to, well, let's fast forward to, are you at all, what's your take on the fact that all of a sudden everybody's coming up positive with coronavirus? And obviously there have been some real upsides to Trump showing, examining, and illustrating for everyone. I loved what he said, that we're not going to live our life being terrified of this virus. We needed that. But how come all of a sudden, Kayleigh McEnany, everybody's coming down with it? What do you think?
Well, I don't have the basis to say that, you know, it was, a conspiracy. I mean, I don't, but I do think it's curious.
Yeah.
I do think it's curious that everybody comes down with it at one time. And I've been at the White House several times in the past few months. And every time you take the COVID test, they don't just take your temperature. And, you know, isn't it convenient, though, that everybody's getting hit with it right now?
Yeah.
You know, 3 weeks and a half before the election. So, look, I think Americans know what's going on. And, you know, we got to count on Americans in answer to this question and the last one to get out there and vote and make sure their vote is counted and make sure, you know, even if they filled out a mail-in, to make sure that they go to the voting station to make sure that their vote was counted.
Exactly. Judge Jeanine Pirro, I love your work.
Thank you.
And, so I encourage everybody to go out and get your book, Don't Lie to Me. I mean, it could be a million volumes because of all the lies that have been going out. Where can people get your book?
Well, they can get it on Amazon and they'll deliver it the next day. You can get it anywhere, any bookstore, Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million. It's all over. And we've made the New York Times bestsellers list, so there should be a lot of them out there.
Well, let me be one of the first, not the first, to wish you a mazel tov for that. That is great. The New York Times. They're not so nice to conservatives, so that's just crazy.
But it's the third one, all three of them on the New York Times. So I'm
wonderful.
I'm thrilled and I'm grateful to everyone for helping me to get these books and the truth out.
Good. I hope you keep on writing and pretty soon you'll have a list of 8 or 10.
I hope we finally get to the truth of all of this. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for yours. Take care. Judge Jeanine Pirro, that was, and we are delighted to have had her. We'll take a break right now, and there'll be much, much more after this. I'm Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline, and I am delighted. One of the great joys of doing talk radio is that you get to have your friends on, and you get to talk to people who are out there doing stuff and are not necessarily doing it. In fact, many people for the accolades, for the public recognition, and sometimes they're the ones who do the most. People who are, you know, natural extroverts like me always appreciate, at least they should, introverts, because the world needs introverts who are deep thinking, quiet, soft spoken, careful thought people, kind of like Amy Coney Barrett a little bit. I'm delighted to have with me as my guest, retired Navy officer, previous business owner, active in politics, and a participant in a conservative think tank, Jerry Meyer. Welcome to Spouting Off, Jerry Meyer.
Good morning, Karen. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It is great to have you, too. And one of the main reasons that I asked you to come on is that there is, and you're always welcome to spout off on Spouting Off any old time, but I have posted both on my Facebook page, it will be on Twitter, but most importantly, it's on my website at KarenCataline.com and suitable for sending, sharing, copying, whatever, a wonderful document that you came up with called the 30 Contrasting Visions for America. And before we get into various aspects of this, these are 30 different contrasting visions for America. Tell us, number one, why you decided to do this and kind of how you came up with it.
Well, Karen, first of all, I have the opportunity to interact with many people throughout the day. And politics, of course, especially in this day and age, always comes up. And the concern I've had is some people are quite uninformed. They just are fed up with politics. They really don't understand the issues and tend to want to just vote for the party or personal identification, the personality, all plays into it. And some of them are just floundering. They don't really have a firm foundation as to whether they should vote or who they should vote for. And I see that there's a real lack of understanding of the important consideration, and that being the issues. Sometimes they get buried in all the clutter of the media, the spin, and need some direction in how to decide their vote.
Yes, and this document, which we are going to get into because we have, you know, we have a luxury of a lot of time so we can get to know you just a little bit. You can tell listeners that Jerry is indeed a soft-spoken person, a thoughtful person. He doesn't seek the limelight. And there's so many people out there like that who are not only concerned, I wouldn't call them the silent majority, I would call them the quiet majority. We're living in a country with way too many extroverts, I think. Another thing that fascinates me, Jerry, is how you took the initiative to come up with this document, and you've come up with others, by the way. You've created memes that people have taken and run with. You're always, always thinking, but what is it that you can tell people who are waiting maybe for someone else like you to come up with something like this? You're an everyday guy, a businessman, a person who has a life, a wife. That rhymes. And here you came up with this spectacular document and you took the initiative to do it on your own. What do you think it is that spurred you on this way?
Well, first of all, I do want to say that this is hardly a new concept. You know, the side-by-side comparison to determine pros and cons of an issue and then come to a decision, of course, goes way back to Ben Franklin. And we see it today repeatedly online. This is not an innovation at all. But what I felt like is that the different postings on Facebook or other social media were, in my opinion, incomplete. They were shallow. They just didn't seem to be thought provoking. And so I just started making out this list of what I thought were the important issues. And by the way, this is just not my creation. It was, I may have inspired it, but there was input from a lot of thoughtful people to put this together. So I don't necessarily want to take credit for it. It's just important that it get out there for people to review.
Humble, humble, humble. Yes, and it is true, although you came up with the initial idea, so I'm going to argue with you about it, because it always takes one person to say, I'm doing this, can I have feedback? Instead of waiting for someone else to say, I wish somebody would do this. And sometimes it's that initiative that, here, let me run this kind of paradox by you, because, again, we have the luxury of really getting to know you a little bit. Some of the radio shows I do, there's 11 minutes. We have to rush in and rush out, and that's fun, too, but it's also fun to do a little bit more extended kind of thing here. I have noticed that with this marching collectivism conformity, I have ranted to you unbearably to you and on the radio about the masks and how it turns us all into automatons and faceless, nameless, I don't know what, zombies. And the more they march towards conformity, the more individuals are called upon to step up, stand up, and be counted, but counted as an individual who says, no, I'm not doing that. And then they encourage others to come along. Have you noticed that irony that today we all as individuals are being asked to step up to the plate, to stand up for individual liberty and individual freedom and personal responsibility? You kind of get my meaning there? I know you do.
Well, I think I do. And what comes to mind is having served in the military and, like so many other veterans, being willing to fight, put your life on the line for your for our freedom. It's so what we're asked to do today, wear a mask and lose our freedom, I would say, freedom of choice to wear that mask or not. It somewhat angers me that people are willing to give up freedom so easily, even when they don't believe that they should be wearing that mask. They do it out of don't want to offend somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if those people who don't believe in wearing the mask wouldn't, I believe we'd have we'd be moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't just be complying without the proper amount of thought.
I think that's, again, very thoughtful and carefully stated. I think also our opponents are willing to use coercion, force, the power of the government, even threats of arrest and penalties. And so the price of standing up for liberty is higher than it used to be. And that's all the more reason why we must do it and do it now, because the price keeps getting steeper and steeper and steeper. We know this from history. We know it in every fiber of our being. And usually my listeners especially know it, or they wouldn't take the time to listen to Spouting Off and other programs like it. And we always welcome dissent and disagreement, and clearly, the left has revealed themselves, exposed themselves as ones not willing to listen to, tolerate, or accept any other opposing point of view. The party of diversity has become the party of force. And so that price is higher than ever. And yet you're stepping up to the plate. In fact, I want to mention, before we take a little break here, I want to mention that this is not the first thing that you've come up with, this 30 contrasting visions for America, which we will talk about. But you came up with this wonderful yard sign. And I don't know, can people find you and locate you on Facebook and elsewhere if they would like to get a hold of that yard sign? Let me tell you what it is. You came up with this. And like a lot of things, I'm kind of skeptical at first. And then I say, you know what? This is great. And I have one of your yard signs on one of the locations where I sometimes live. I don't live in the same place all the time. But nevertheless, it is a wonderful picture of Martin Luther King. It says the big headline at the bottom headline is "Character Matters." And then it quotes Martin Luther King saying that he dreams of a time when people will be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. How'd you come up with that one? And how can people get those yard signs? Because, you know, we've got a listenership all over the country. So maybe they can take that and take it to their printer. Because that's, if you got a good idea, don't be selfish with it. Throw it out there and let people recreate it, is what we've said.
Well, to answer that question, how did I come up with the idea? Of course, We are seeing Black Lives Matters everywhere. It's the movement today. And if you oppose that, specifically all lives matter, you can be putting yourself in harm's way the way they're handling this movement. But thinking back to the 1960s, and I'm able to do that, Martin Luther King's protest at the time for equality was very much needed. There was true oppression of the Black community, but his movement was peaceful. He wanted to unify. He wanted to have people be colorblind, and it worked. It just caught on, made an enormous difference for the Black community, and lifted them up. Whereas the Black Lives Matter movement is literally destroying everything that Martin Luther King accomplished. So just putting those two movements together, as you said, Karen, he emphasized character matters. He said it. I didn't come up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So putting that on a sign is actually directly pointing back at BLM and saying it's the character that matters. It's not the color of their skin. Today they're turning everything into Black versus white.
Upside
privilege.
Down.
It's
upside down, right?
Upside down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as we get ready for our break, tell us if there's a way that anybody around the country can access your picture, your flyer. It can be turned into a flyer, a picture, a yard site, a yard sign, excuse me. Anything you want. You'd be surprised. Hand them out. Where can they go to get this flyer, Character Matters?
That's a good question. I had not considered it before. I could give my email address. Karen, what would you suggest would be the best way to do it?
Did you post it on your Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay. So, are you willing to have new Facebook friends if we, you know?
Absolutely.
Good. Yes. So two places. Your name is Jerry Meyer. And is that what your Facebook name is?
Yes,
I don't know.
It is.
Okay.
M-E-Y-E-R.
The other thing I'll do is make sure and post that on my website as part of the podcast, which will come out 2 hours after after we're done broadcasting live. So I'll post that in a PDF or a JPEG, whatever you call it, so people can get it there as well. So Jerry Meyer at Facebook, just look him up there. Or you'll go to KarenCataline.com. Can you hold on for a break, Jerry Meyer?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your time and for joining us. We'll be right back with Jerry Meyer, and we'll get into this 30 contrasting visions for America. Some really great stuff here, so stay tuned.
Listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and we are talking to retired Navy officer, previous business owner, active in politics and a participant in a conservative think tank, creative, soft-spoken, thoughtful, Jerry Meyer. Thank you so much for joining us, Jerry. Or staying with us, I should say.
Well, it's good to be back.
Well, it is too. You come up with great ideas, and I just want to reiterate how wonderful it is. We all know people like this in our midst who are finding it frustrating, all the loud, boisterous screaming and yelling and whatever, although sometimes, hey, you just got to scream. I don't know. but we have a lot of people who have a lot of wonderful things to offer, and they can come up with documents, flyers, yard signs like this. And that's one of the reasons I thought it was so important to have you on. So we're going to dive right into this document. And if you want to follow along, it is already posted at my website, KarenCataline.com, where you can find more information about me than you ever want to know. And there you will find 30 contrasting visions of America that Jerry Meyer came up with the help of a lot of other people. And let's just dive into the very first one, Jerry. Number one, defend police and law and order. That's the conservative idea. And progressive leftist is defund police protection. Talk about that. And is there a reason why it's number one, or just it happens to be? Because it's pretty darn important.
It was the first one that came to mind. That because of what's happening in our world, our country today, it's just a lightning rod issue. I do want to say, Karen, that the heading 30 contrasting visions for America, I'd like to qualify that just a little bit, because are these completely contrasting? I think there's a gray area. There's an argument on each side. If you really look at it and try to put your shoes in the side of the person who might fall down on one or other side of these issues, they're not just black and white. There's a gray area, and that's why we have some of the controversy going on. On this particular one, I would say that defending the police is so important. We should be defending our law enforcement people. The question becomes, should we do that just blindly, just enforce, support them? And I would say, of course, no. They have to be held accountable where they do wrong. And we all know that. It's not a blind defense. On the other side of the coin, defund the police, which they also say, instead of just defund, how about if we redirect funds? And there's some validity on that side. In one sense, it would be really nice to have money put into some of these areas where there's high crime for rec centers, scholarship programs, mentorship. All of that makes some sense. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to really decide. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we can have both. Have a strong police department and direct funds, not from the police department, from other resources to lift up these communities.
I just want to, and thank you for that analysis. I just want to add that sometimes where we get into trouble is where the left, on the one hand, fully embraces defund the police, and then at the last minute, 3 weeks before or a month before an election, they have Joe Biden and others saying, he never said defund the police, in order to divert responsibility for the fact that his entire party, which is controlled by leftists, is indeed advocating abolishing the police, abolishing law enforcement, and abolishing ICE and all the rest. So the people that you're talking to, the so-called the middle, the undecided, the uninvolved, or just don't care till the last minute, sometimes they, because they're so resistant to the labels, oh, I don't get into labels. Well, sometimes the labels are important, because conservatives do not advocate defunding police, or it's really hard to be a conservative. Leftists do advocate abolishing law enforcement, getting rid of jails altogether, and letting criminals out of prison, which they have in fact done under the guise of coronavirus, and suddenly we have criminals roaming the street and committing more crimes. Gee, what a shock. You let criminals out of jail? felons, and they go and they commit more crimes against law-abiding citizens. It's hard for people to get their brain around the fact that people are doing that intentionally. Your thoughts on that?
Well, and that's why that column is labeled progressive / leftist, as opposed to liberal. The liberal is more of a middle-of-the-road, well-intended person who, unfortunately, many liberals or people who call themselves liberals have been pulled so far into the leftist side of the spectrum, and they don't even realize that they're just being manipulated or gone in that direction, and that's a concern.
Yes, it truly is. Let me read a few others of these before we get to another one we're going to stop on. Kind of like we'll go down the highway and tease people about some of these really, really good ones, like a free market economy versus a state-controlled economy. Sanctuary cities for illegal aliens, and against that, as opposed to progressive leftists who favor sanctuary cities and states. Here's a huge one. Freedom of speech versus censorship of speech. That is a huge issue right now with Twitter deciding, and Twitter is not the government, but Twitter has a decidedly left, not just left of center, but very left view, and they are clearly pro-Biden, and they're shutting down anything that makes Biden look bad. This is worse than the government has done and is doing, and we're a little late to the game in pointing it out in the last 3 weeks of the election with the Hunter Biden revelations and emails. So that one, they're all really important. Freedom of religion as opposed to freedom from religion. Something that I have ranted about, that people of faith are always a threat to those who want to impose communism, because communists, leftists, socialists, all these folks who believe in manipulated control over other citizens, they want to be God in their universe and in yours. So people who actually acknowledge their accountability to God are a big threat to that. Let's go to number 18, which is the Electoral College versus the national popular vote. Tell us about why that one is really key on this terrific list of 30 issues here.
Well, as people should know, that's a very important issue right now. It's on the ballot in some states as to whether we want to go from the electoral constitutional electoral process and go to the popular vote. Our founding fathers were very wise to create a system with the Electoral College because they could foresee that without that, the large cities, the high population areas would control the country. They would, the suburb areas, the smaller states would have really no say on issues. The concern is right now we have, I believe it's something around 180, it's required to have 270 people on the side of the popular vote, in this case it would be electoral votes, in order to go to this democracy system where majority rules. In which case it would be Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, Dallas, cities like that would win every single election, and the smaller states would be unrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very large issue that's upon us right now. And I have to admit, many people think the majority should rule.
Well, that's very, very dangerous. Our founders, as you well know, created a system in which they were concerned about the tyranny to the minority, and that when you have individual freedom, individual rights, and personal responsibility, what you're doing is protecting the greatest amount of freedom for the greatest number of people. And we've been very, very lax in being able to teach our young and even some adults why that's such a brilliant and important concept for us all. I apologize. We're going to have to pretty much wrap this up. It goes fast, doesn't it, Jerry?
It does. And there's so many more things we could discuss.
Yes. And, I'll have to have you back. I would love to have you back. You're a wonderful guest. Tell everybody one more time where they can get this list. And I will, as I said, I'll post the Character Matters flyer that people can take. And you can even make a yard sign of it. Just go to your nearest print shop if you're in another state. Character Matters with a picture of Martin Luther King. That ought to get people talking. And then this wonderful 30 Contrasting Visions for America. Go to, if you'd like to friend Jerry on Facebook, just find him on Facebook, and it's just Jerry Meyer, right? J-E-R-R-Y-M-E-Y-E-R. And are some of these things public on your Facebook page, or do people have to be friends with you?
No, they are public.
Great.
The items we're talking about are public. Yeah.
That's great. So you don't even have to friend Jerry, but do, and tell him he did a terrific job on the radio. And I will post both of these on my website, hopefully suitable for picking off and using. There's no copyrights on these. We want you to use them and talk about them with in your sphere of influence. We talk a lot about that. People have a much greater sphere of influence than they really realize. And you are more important to those people who know you, who respect your opinion, especially if they really don't know themselves and they know you've been, I'm talking to listeners, have been following this stuff, than hearing it from a stranger. So thank you so much, Jerry Meyer, for joining us and for stepping up to the plate and putting a piece like this out for the public, along with your yard sign and all the other things that you've been doing on your own without interest for accolades or recognition, in order that we can preserve freedom and preserve this country, the United States of America, in the last 3 weeks of this election. Thanks for joining us, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Karen, and thank you for all that you're doing.
You're really making
a difference.
And so are you. Thank you very much. So we've got to wrap up the show here, and we will see you next time. Don't forget that Tuesdays and Thursdays will have extra and new growing Spouting Off editions out of WSMN, 1590 AM out of Nashua, New Hampshire. All that information will be on my website, ready for your perusal. So Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern for 1 hour. Hopefully it will grow, and it's live call-in talk radio. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and K-Star Radio Network that carries this show during the weekends, and thanks to all of you. And thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, when there will be oh so much to spout off about here on Spouting Off.